It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
City Limits has done a wonderful job compiling sound bites here, and I'd like to hear some of them. One is from Big Ben's podcast, Footballin', where him and Spence react to, what was the dude's name who jumped offside? Jonathan.
I can't even remember. He was a nameless gray face.
Yeah. In one of the most just incredibly mindless plays I've ever seen in the NFL.
Newton.
I still can't believe that it happened. There was zero chance that the Steelers were going to snap the ball. Just none, as Zach Frazier let it be known. But, I mean, it was obvious if you're watching the game. And that was a day where Mike Tomlin was definitely not living in his fears, but there's just the insanity of actually going for that would have been just unspeakable. Like, you can't go for it there. And they weren't going to. They weren't going to snap the ball. So there should have been, you know, an edict on the way onto the field. Like, there should have been 10 coaches, 11 coaches, one for every guy going onto the field saying, do not move a muscle. Don't even blink your eye here. You know, back off a little bit. Make it obvious you're not over the line. Back off as much as legally possible and do not move a single cell in your body. Not that we have control over whether our cells move. Do cells move?
Yes.
Just, I couldn't believe it happened. I couldn't. And the Steeler reaction was great. And I think, as we spoke about yesterday, it was really indicative of the new energy surrounding this team. I was focused on the guys on the field and how every single one of them went nuts, and Russell did a little dance. And I knew Tomlin's reaction was great on the sideline, but I saw a different angle of the play this morning, Limits, and the whole Steelers sideline erupted. It was so great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like there were so many battles in that game that was the end celebration to winning the war. It was a hard-fought game.
It was as great as it was unexpected, and this was Ben and Spence. Is this real time, them watching it happen?
Real time.
All right.
Don't get this. They have one completion. I was in field goal range.
Yeah, what do you guys think? I'm so nervous.
I'm not watching. There it is.
Oh,
there it is. Game over. Got him.
You had one job. Oh, my God.
You had one job. Stay on sides. You had one job.
Oh, he dancing.
Stay on sides.
Buddy, how do you lose?
One job.
The
stay
game.
On side.
Too antsy,
you had
bud.
One job, and it's stay on sides.
That, I'm going to be honest with you. I'd like to accredit. Got him. You got to credit Arthur Smith's mustache for this.
Can we redo this, guys?
Wow.
Everybody watching this show knew what was coming.
Wow.
Like, Coach Tom was like, idiot.
That's it. Hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Look at this guy. You have one job. Coach Mitch, watch the ball.
He said,
watch the ball.
Pat, buddy. He's okay.
Hey.
It's okay, buddy. It is not okay. It is not okay. You lost
Pat
the game.
Hey, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right.
Woo! Russ hitting him with the whoo. What is that?
Russ, why you got the gold chain on, though?
You got
Russ?
The gold chain?
Take your bracelet off, got Russ.
I didn't hit him with the windshield wipers or whatever that was.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey.
How do you jump off sides?
Wow.
That was great.
Spence went crazy there. I've never heard him. He talked more in that segment than he has in all the shows up to this combined. That was amazing. And it confirms my idea that it's one of the most mindless plays I've ever seen in the NFL. I've ever seen.
I love Ben imitating the coach. It's okay, buddy. It's okay. We know you jumped. It's all right.
Let's hear just the beginning of that, right up to the point where Spence says we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Don't get this. They have one completion. I was in field goal range.
Yeah, what do you guys think? I'm so nervous.
I'm not watching. There it is.
Oh,
there it is. Game over. Got him.
Got him.
You have one
oh,
job.
my God!
You had one job. Stay on sides. You had one job.
Oh, he dancing.
Stay on sides.
Buddy, how do you lose?
One job. Stay on sides.
The game. Too antsy,
you had
bud.
One job, and it's stay on sides.
That, I'm going to be honest with you. I'd like to credit. Got him. You got to credit Arthur Smith's mustache for this.
Can we redo this, guys?
Wow.
You listen, everybody watching this show knew what was coming.
Wow.
Like Coach Tom was like, idiot.
That's it. Hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
I'm flabbergasted by that as much as the offsides at this point. Spence went absolutely crazy there.
Immediate reaction going to the Super Bowl, Spence. I mean, you want to talk about overreaction in the moment.
They might. I don't know at this point. Also, the mustache was great. Arthur Smith's mustache. I actually love that.
Credit the mustache?
Yeah.
A lot of crediting of mustaches on this show.
Done a whole ad campaign around Joe Patochnik's mustache for years now. And Artie's mustache is good. Would you agree with that?
Not as good as JP's.
Man, that is great. Okay. And he really did have one job. And it really is about looking at the ball. That's all you need to do is look at the ball. Here's what I'd like to know from Ben, though. Was there anything in Russ's cadence that helped make that happen? Did that just happen? Like, why did that guy jump right there? Did somebody trick him in some very subtle way? That's what I want to know. What was Russ's... I know Russ didn't move his head at all because I watched for that. You're not allowed to really try to draw people off sides in that way. Limits. So I'd love to hear Ben's thoughts, and maybe he had some after that, on why that happened. If it was just sheer mindlessness, or was there a little trick involved? I wonder.
Well, I mean, he did give the hard count, like a couple hot, 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 and like stop and pause. And
you know that the cadence went like that? Can you do that again?
Well, we heard it on the audio.
All right, let's hear it.
Hot, 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 hot.
I like that. I've got a number on Joey Porter that I think you'll be very interested in. He became a focal point of the mailbag today.
Wasn't good.
People not pleased with Joey Porter, wondering about all the penalties that he's taken. We're going to get into that. But first, you had a couple people talking about Mike Tomlin as potentially coach of the year, at least at this point, a very strong candidate. Tell us who it is and play that for us, would
yes.
you please?
So Pony's Syracuse buddy Danny Parkins does a really good job on FS1. He thinks Mike Tomlin might be NFL Coach of the Year.
I was wrong. Mike Tomlin was right. I would make him the NFL Coach of the Year. I know Dan Quinn's the heavy favorite, but I think that a lot of that is Jaden Daniels and Kingsbury, and Quinn is very good. But like Mike Tomlin making a decision to bench Justin Fields with a winning record when he's popular in that locker room to go to Russell Wilson. And since he's been the starter, they're a top 10 offense in football. And they're scoring 30 a game. But if that defense gets a quarterback who's going to get 30 points per game, they're going to win a ton of football games.
You're right. Listen, if Russ is throwing for over 250 yards, he's scoring more than two or three touchdowns, he's taking care of the football, and the fact that we're looking at the Steelers team, and if you're a Steelers fan too, you're finally saying, man, we're getting the best out of George Pickens right now.
Yes.
There's a large part of the season we thought, man, we're wasting a generational talent because we have Justin Fields at quarterback. And it's not a knock on Justin Fields, but right now the Russ and Pickens connection is what's making this offense go alongside right. with the run game. So you have to be extremely excited about what Russ is doing right
yeah,
now.
I was just going to say, you know, talking to Pete Carroll for years while Russ was in Seattle, he used to say this all the time. Hey, man, our whole formula is run the ball, mm-hmm. play conservative football, keep the game close, play great defense, and then let Russ make a big play down the sideline, big one-on-one opportunities in the fourth quarter, and we win one-score games.
Well,
and
look,
you know what? It's exactly the formula that they've adhered to.
Also, that was Mark Schlereth on Breakfast Ball, too.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from him regarding how he was very, very wrong about Russell Wilson. Okay, so Coach of the Year. Where does Tomlin rank? You have the odds there, the Vegas odds. What do they say?
Yeah, according to Vegas Insider, Dan Quinn is the favorite at plus 220. Mike Tomlin is plus 800. Ahead of him, Dan Campbell, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Kevin O'Connell. How about that?
Wait a second here. There's something that blows my mind. Is Jonathan Gannon not on that list?
Let me see if I can... Let me try somebody different. Let's go to DraftKings and see their odds.
I mean, because that guy has taken the Cardinals, who nothing was expected of, unless I'm wrong about that. Nothing's ever expected of the Cardinals.
All right, so here's updated on BetMGM. Dan Quinn plus 350. Mike Tomlin is plus 425.
He's second?
He's second. Jonathan Gannon is not even on this list as a favorite.
They're in first place in their division, and their over-under was 7 wins. What are we doing here?
Dan Campbell's next, plus 500. Jim Harbaugh, plus 600.
Dan Campbell's team was supposed to be good. Here would be my ranking for Coach of the Year, and Tomlin absolutely deserves consideration. According to The Athletic, when you put preseason odds against number of wins right now, this was going into the Commanders game, the most surprising teams in the NFL, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, were Commanders, Vikings, Broncos, Steelers, and Cardinals. And by the way, the Chiefs were, how can Andy Reid with an undefeated season not be mentioned in this?
He's just further down the list because there's so much expected from Kansas City. But if they go undefeated, then he should win it.
Well, actually, they're the sixth most surprising team in the league right now because they're 9-0. Their over-under was 11.5. So that's actually not true. And by the way, Nick Sirianni also deserves some votes in this. They're 7-2. Their over-under was 10. And here's something that really interests me. The Chargers, I think Harbaugh's presence gave them a bump before the season with Vegas that now is hurting him for Coach of the Year. That team was 5-12 last year. They've already surpassed their win total, and nobody talks about him for Coach of the Year because people actually expected them to be good because of him. Their over-under was 9, a full game ahead of the Steelers. Did you know that in Vegas?
That's a good pick. Really good pick.
I think Jim Harbaugh deserves every bit as much consideration as Tomlin right now, but I would put Tomlin certainly in my top 5. I think I'd probably still go with Dan Quinn, followed by Jonathan Gannon. Again, the Cardinals are in first place at 6-4 and have some pretty good wins. Then probably Harbaugh, Tomlin. Did I mention O'Connell?
Yeah.
Either him or Andy Reid right there.
FanDuel's top 5 right now are Dan Quinn, Dan Campbell, tied with Tomlin for second right now, followed by Jim Harbaugh and Kevin O'Connell, then Andy Reid and Jonathan Gannon.
Okay. That to me is a very reasonable list. The Dan Campbell thing, I guess, weren't they expected to be really, really good?
Yes. I mean, both you and I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Now, they also, though, are out, like the Chiefs, they're out trending how good they were expected to be. So I kind of get it. But I actually do go by the old sort of rationale that it should go to the coach who has the most dramatic turnaround or exceeds expectations, going from mediocre bad expectation to being a good team. I'm not sure that Gannon isn't the winner right now. I changed my vote. He's the winner. Thank you, Limit.
Gannon over Washington and Dan Quinn?
Yeah, look at the schedules. They have one less win. Don't act like it would be like the craziest thing that ever happened.
They're also first place in their division in Washington, too.
Yeah, I know. I didn't say it wouldn't be close. One team has 7 wins, one team has 6.
Yeah, I just didn't expect anything from Washington coming into this year.
You were big on the Cardinals?
Not necessarily. I think they're like a 7-win team, though.
Yeah, and they're going to get that this week. Not only that, they've beaten San Francisco. They've beaten the Chargers. Yeah, they don't have that many good wins.
Didn't they beat San Francisco when nobody was playing?
Still a good win. They almost beat Buffalo.
Almost.
They beat the Chargers. Nah, you're right. No, you're not right. Who was Washington beaten? I'll wait. They've a win as good as the Chargers win by the Fighting Jonathan Gannons. They've beaten Giants, Bengals. Oh, they beat the Cardinals. You win. I'm sorry. And they beat them 42-14.
Waiting for that one. They did lose to the Ravens.
You didn't know that one, or you would have already brought it up.
They play the Eagles this week, Thursday Night Football.
That's going to be a great game. There's some giant games this week. All right, Limits. Coming up next, would you like to dive into that mailbag with me? Because I have an amazing number on Joey Porter Jr. It's not that amazing, but it's informative.
Yes.
Is the better word there. Two people asked me about Joey Porter Jr. and the kind of season he's having. Where do his penalty numbers rank with what he had last year? I was a little bit surprised by this. I have every penalty he's committed, what kind, and the total compared to last year. Would you care to guess at that?
I would. Did Dr. Kornfetter weigh in this week?
Not this week. I'm hoping next week. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. This is great stuff, man. This is new energy. It really is. Not only around the Steelers, but around Steelers-Ravens. This is a hell of a matchup this weekend. I mean, Bills-Chiefs. Bills-Chiefs will get more attention because the Chiefs can get to that double-digit mark unbeaten. Plus, it's going back into Buffalo, site of their playoff matchup last year. All of that. I understand why Nance and Romo are going there. And there's some other good games this week, but to me, this is the best actual game. Chargers-Bengals is a playoff game for the Bengals. That's the way I look at that one. That game is going to have giant ramifications, I think, down the road. And there's some other really good games as the NFL season heats up. But Steelers-Ravens, I think, is the best game on the schedule, Limits. Do you agree with that?
If it wasn't for the Steelers playing on Thursday night in Cleveland this upcoming week, I think this game would have got flexed to Sunday Night Football. Like, it's that good of a matchup because CBS would have protected the Bills and the Chiefs. But because of that, and I mean, Bengals-Chargers is a good matchup in prime time. Like, it's going to be a good weekend of football to sit on your couch from 1 o'clock until 11 and not do anything because that's how good the NFL slate is this week. But I agree. I mean, you have the rivalry factor. You have the fact that both teams have won 7 games. It's for sole possession of first place in the AFC North with this victory. This first time that the Steelers have played a division game, how odd that is.
And how about the Steelers being a 3.5-point underdog on their home field?
That's weird. I don't understand that.
Nick Kostos will join us because sometimes there's more than meets the eye with the mysterious ways of Vegas. You know, it's designed to direct the betting in one way or another. But man, a 3.5-point favorite coming in here. That's interesting to me. And then the storylines are just endless. You have the quarterbacks. You have one of whom might win his third MVP. The other of whom is, you know, shocking the football world right now. Speaking of which, well, you also have George Pickens coming alive as a star receiver. You have Roquan Smith. You have Patrick Queen, former Raven, now here. You have Deontay Johnson, presumably going to play in this game. You might have the defensive player of the year going against the MVP in this game. It's fantastic stuff. It really is. And I would be pumped. And I think this crowd is going to be great in this game. Don't you? Are you going?
TBD. Still haven't decided yet if I'm going or not. But every time it's a Steelers-Ravens game, there's a hostility in the air that you can feel. There's a tension. There's a really good sense of energy. Sometimes it's a little bit, not timid is the right word, but a little hesitant energy because everybody's fired up, but everybody's like, it's a coin flip every time you play Baltimore.
I'll tell you this, it's the most expensive game on the docket. ESPN lists the games and then ticket prices. Tickets as low as $254 is what they say for this game. The next highest price game is Buffalo and Kansas City. Do you know what the lowest price game is this week, Limits?
It probably is wherever Jacksonville is. Well, no, Jacksonville's playing in Detroit. Is it the Rams in New England?
No. This one, I just said Steelers tickets as low as $254.
Oh, Colts and Jets has to be like $10 to get in.
No, that's not the one. Colts and Jets. There's one for 25 tickets as low as $25.
We're down to Minnesota, Tennessee, or Cleveland and the Saints.
Bingo.
Yep.
Cleveland and the Saints.
Yikes.
The Jameis Winston Bowl. You can get in for $25 probably by game time. They'll pay you to go to the game.
You might be able to stand on one side of the Coliseum and see your buddy and wave to him and might be able to talk back and forth.
They'll just hand
the
out
Superdome.
They'll hand out checks on the way into the game. Here. Here's your stimulus check to stimulate interest in this game. They'll just hand out money.
Please come in, eat our concessions and food.
And here's the other thing I'm thinking about this week, sort of in a pitiable way or filled with pity, is your Cleve Brownies, how brief their time in the sun was, wasn't it? Look at this pathetic, pathetic franchise. Seriously. I don't need to go into all the years that they lost with all the ridiculous quarterbacks, right? Way going way back to their, you know, return to the NFL as not even the right franchise, but their return nonetheless. How they lost for all those years. I see two winning seasons between 99 and 2020. Think about that. Two winning seasons. And then the guy who brings them the winning season, Baker Mayfield, they basically kick out of town. After he wins a playoff game here, they've still never put together two winning seasons in a row since they came back to the NFL. I'm thinking about them today because of all the attention that's going to be on Steelers Ravens and the poor, pitiful, sad sack joke of a franchise in Cleveland is back to being 2-7 with the biggest albatross contract in the history of the league and with very little hope. Poor little Cleveland. Yeah, they won a playoff game here. And yeah, they went 11-6 last year and then got blown to smithereens in a playoff game. And I haven't said smithereens in a long time.
It's a good word.
By the way,
the Malzi Thesaurus.
And now they're back to who they are. And Kevin Stefanski, their great, great, great coach, has had two winning seasons out of what will be, what, five? So three losing seasons and two winning seasons. And he's back and they're back to being who they are, the pathetic Cleveland Browns.
Will he get fired after winning Coach of the Year?
I don't know. I think they may look at that and say, you know, the circumstances this year were sort of unwinnable. But it could happen.
Well, Jimmy Haslam's guy is Deshaun Watson.
It's the Haslams. Anything could happen. Usually the wrong thing, right?
Shane Waldron just got fired today, the offensive coordinator in Chicago.
Nobody cares about him either. But I'm thinking about the Browns today. I am. They crossed my mind. You know who else did? Joey Porter Jr. I got a lot of questions about him in the old mailbag today. Limits.
It's intergalactically red.
Intergalactically. From here to Uranus, this thing is red. And I got asked two different questions about him. One was this. Does Joey Porter Jr. seem to be penalized more this year? Or is he getting beat by the majority of opposing wide receivers? So that took me to the football database. Have you been there, Wonder Twin?
No.
Unbelievable website. You can look up most penalized players in the league, among many other things, and go year by year. So let's start with last season. Joey Porter Jr. led the Steelers in penalties last season with 8. And he had a bunch of holds and a bunch of pass interferences, but he led the team with 8 last year. You know who was second? Wrong.
Broderick Jones.
Patrick Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
This year, Porter has 4 penalties. So it's not like it's an epidemic. Like, he's pretty much on pace to do what he did last year in that respect. Although, he has no enforced holding penalties this year. They're all pass interference.
Oh, we're halfway there, living on a prayer.
So he's got some penalties for sure. Guess who leads the team this year?
Broderick Jones.
Yes, he does have 5. Porter has 4. The bigger problem to me is he's been inconsistent and been getting beat. He has a 54.0 grade from Pro Football Focus. That's 92nd out of 108 corners. That's not good. And people want to laugh at Pro Football Focus, but it's not like they bring, you know, high school burnouts in to watch film, you know, for a dollar an hour or something. Bobby Slowick and Zach Robinson, two guys who have high-level NFL jobs, broke down tape there. They have people who let, you know, coaches, players, future coaches, breaking down tape. It's people who know football. That doesn't mean they're always right. Please don't confuse me there, or not to be argued with. But it's not like they have a bunch of idiots there. So who's ever watching that and breaking down every single route run against Joey Porter, and when he's in zone, whatever his job might be on a given play, he's 92nd out of 108 corners. I don't know if that bodes well with the Steelers about to face an upgrade in opposing passing games. He's been a little bit disappointing this season. I think he's had some good games, but I also think he's been very inconsistent.
Well, and I don't think it helps that Dante Jackson is starting to fall off a little bit as well. His play is not getting as good.
And now he's injured.
Yes. So you're talking about James Pierre. I mean, I know he made one really good play late in the game, but I don't trust James Pierre.
Me neither. I'm not sure about Cam Sutton. He got smoked on one play last week, and the guy dropped the ball. He did make a good play. If he's forced to play outside, as we found out in Detroit, that is not a recipe for success.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.